Let's pray and we'll get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the truth of your Word tonight. We thank you for wisdom and understanding, for grace, Lord, to receive it, Father. Oh, Father, that, Lord, we will hear your voice speaking to our hearts, Lord. We will hear what your Word says about baptism tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask you to open the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding, and flood us with your light, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know it's not just up to us? We need to read the Word of God, but every time you read, you should ask the Holy Spirit, help me understand. Give me that understanding, Holy Spirit. Why? He is the one that is the author. How many know God's the author of the Word of God? Of his word, of what he said. Yeah, he moved on some men, but they were moved by the Holy Spirit and his supernatural. All right, tonight I want us to start in John chapter 8. Now, when we talk about water baptism, there's all kinds of ways that it's done in the body of Christ. How many know that? You've heard maybe different ways that people have been baptized. I've seen most of them. Sometimes people say, well, we're going to sprinkle you. We'll just sprinkle a little water on your forehead. And, you know, is that okay? Well, I think it more deals with the heart than anything else, to be honest. And, you know, some people, they want to kneel down and have water poured over their head. You know, others dunk it, you know, and there's been a little bit, maybe a little confusion in the body of Christ concerning baptism. Now, we want to remember one thing for sure, okay? Baptism, and you can say this with me, does not save you. Amen. Baptism cannot save me. Cannot save you. Cannot save anybody. Baptism is something that happens after you've accepted Jesus into your heart, okay? I think that's a real important point because sometimes people, there's so much confusion in the world. You know, like I was baptized as a baby. Now, I don't feel that, I mean, my parents didn't believe that saved me. It was more of a dedication, I would say, of my life to the Lord. Now, every church is different. Now, some churches, they think if you weren't baptized as a baby, you're not saved. You know, they think if you baptize that baby, they're going to heaven, period. Well, maybe while they're in innocence and they haven't come to the place where they really know right from wrong, but how many know that doesn't always take a long time in a person's life? 3-4 years old, maybe older for some. You know, God knows that exact moment when you really know right and wrong. For me, I was 9 years old and I knew better. I was learning and I was trying to figure out life, trying to figure out how could I, you know, if God knows everything, how come I keep doing wrong? And he doesn't stop me. Why doesn't he just stop me? Because he's given us free will, amen? And he can't. He has limited himself to the laws that he has set in motion. And there's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that law had not come into operation in my life yet because I was not yet born again. I had not received Jesus into my heart. Did I love God? Probably, yeah. I think I loved God. Did I want God? I think I wanted God. But I was not yet born again. So I didn't have any power over the sin. I didn't have the power to walk with him. But I finally received Jesus. Hallelujah. That's good news. Anyway, there's a lot of confusion, was my point, sometimes on the baptism, you know, that people have in water. And, you know, in other areas, you know, other areas of the church. How many know there's confusion in the church to some degree today? Maybe, you know, spiritual gifts, communion, even praise and worship, even how they take up offerings. You know, there's all kinds of things that happen. And the Lord wants us to know what the Bible says about baptism. Amen. How many want to do it the Bible way? If you do things the Bible way, you're going to get Bible results. And it's going to work. When you obey what the Bible says, then you're going to receive the blessing that God gives. Amen? Hallelujah. So, what is in God's Word about baptism? I said to turn to John 8, and I want us to see that here. And it says in verse 31, we're going to start reading there a little bit. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides in the house, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because the word hath no place in you. Okay, let's just stop right there. And he says here, if you, continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Now, of course, we see first here the disciple. We know what a disciple is. We talked a little bit about discipleship here, and some of you have been hearing it in other places. Hallelujah. And we know that it is a disciplined follower, isn't it? It's someone that disciplines himself to follow after someone so they can be like them. And our discipline is to follow after Jesus so that we can ultimately be like him. You can't be his disciple unless what? We're born again first. We must be born again. And if you continue in the word, then are you my disciplined followers, he said here. So we may come back to here in just a little bit, but I want us to see that it is the truth of knowing him, being born again. You see, because he says here that the servant, verse 35, abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, a servant is someone that serves. But if the Son, who is a son of the family, see, he's part of the family household, we could say, or the house. You're in that family for, how many can get out of your family? Now, I know some people wish they could get out of their family, but they can't, right? Why? You were born into the family. But a servant isn't born in, are they? They're serving, and the Son can say, I release you. You're free. You're free to go. You don't have to be a servant anymore or a slave. In those days, sometimes they had slaves. You can be free. And then they'll be free indeed in what they can do. They're free to go. You're no longer. You don't have to be in the house. You're not in this family forever. But the Son is always a part of the family. Amen? And so here, they were talking to Jesus. And it was known when they answered him, he said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, here in verse 33, why did they say? They answered him, we're Abraham's seed. That's nice. You're Abraham's seed. We weren't in bondage to any man. How do you say we shall be made free? Now, why did they say that? One of the reasons they said that is because many times they believed because they're Abraham's seed, they don't really have sin in their life. They were bound to sin, but they didn't recognize it. They're not realizing that sin was their master. They're like, hey, we're already free. What are you talking about? We're Abraham's seed. And then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, whoever what? Commit a sin, see? He's the servant of that sin. Who's ever committed sin. They were actually bound to sin, but they weren't recognizing that they were bound. They said, "Oh, we're of Abraham. We're all right. We're good. We're free." What do you mean we got to be set free? They weren't recognizing their bondage to sin. And the servant, then he says that servant doesn't abide forever because the son and Jesus was getting ready to set them free from that bondage that they were actually in. So, anyway, I kind of got ahead of myself. That's okay. It's all wonderful. It's all good. But here we see that we'll know that truth. And that truth that we know in Christ is going to lead us to Him. He said, if you'll stay in this truth, you'll be made free. In other words, there's coming a day you're going to be born again. They're going to be freed from their sin nature that they aren't even sure and aren't really recognizing just yet. Now, Matthew 28:18, we see here where Jesus, and we may come back to that 8th chapter. There's a reason for it. Them being of Abraham's seed. But here we see Matthew chapter 28, beginning at the 18th verse. And here he talks about them going into all the world. And Jesus came, verse 18, and speaking to them, he was saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." And here we see Jesus speaking to them, and he's commanding the disciples to go into all the world and teach, verse 19. Or, in other words, if you look that up, teach to make disciples of all nations or all people groups. Okay? And this really should be enough for us, Jesus said, to go and baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. However, there's much more in the Bible concerning baptism than that. It was actually quite popular in the New Testament, of course, but we'll keep looking up. Hallelujah. So we need to remember that this really should be enough, but there's more. Matthew chapter 3, let's start in verse 13, where it shows that Jesus was baptized. Okay, Jesus himself. Now it's very interesting, I think, to note here in this passage. Let's read it first and then I'll talk here. Verse 13 of Matthew chapter 3. It said, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me. And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh to us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, the word here that says baptize, or it is in the Greek baptizo, and it means to submerge or completely cover. So many people want to argue, you know, it doesn't really mean sprinkling, it doesn't mean to pour it upon a person, but it does mean that they're completely submerged in water. Now, some people say, what if there is no water? Can I sprinkle them? I suppose so. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you because I would say, number one, we have to realize it's a matter of the heart, okay, and what's available. But the real Greek word here and the real meaning in Scripture is to submerge, to completely go under and of course come up as well. That's important. Hallelujah. It doesn't really mean sprinkling. It doesn't mean pouring. It doesn't mean something else. It means to submerge. So why did Jesus have to be baptized here? Because here's John, and it says, John forbade him. He said, he's baptizing people unto what? Unto repentance, wasn't he? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And many of these same Jews that thought, hey, you know, I don't have any sin in my life, but John began to preach. How many know the preaching of the gospel brings conviction? Amen. And they realized, hey, maybe I do, and I need to be baptized. And I'll come back to this in a minute. Why did Jesus have to be baptized? Well, one reason he was baptized, he was setting an example, for one thing. But he was also decreeing, he said, I am going, I believe he was showing, he's saying, I am going all the way to death for you, and I will go under. He's going into death, and he will be raised to the newness of life, to resurrection life. And Jesus declared that many times, but I believe this also. You say, well, I believe, but this is what it says. He went under, and he was really declaring something. And also, there is a time, I'll go ahead, I think I'll share that now, Lord, if that's all right, or, well, I'll come back to it. All right. So we're seeing here that Jesus was baptized, and he did declare, hey, I'm going all the way to death. I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be buried, but I shall be raised to newness of life. And it was needful here, it says, to fulfill all righteousness, absolutely. And he said to John, hey, you need to do this. And I'll share another reason, I believe, also here a little bit later. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12 for now. Romans chapter 5. Now, we may get to Romans 6, we'll see here. But right now, I want to go to Romans 5. And verse 12 says this. It says, Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now here he's talking about a spiritual law that came into existence through Adam. How many are of the race of Adam? You're of the human race. That means you're the race of Adam. Like it or not, you have been born into a fallen race. Because of Adam, it says, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. That's talking spiritual death and ultimately physical death for every human. Like it or not, you do not get to live forever on the earth right now in a human body. It has already been declared a place of death. Now, spiritual death, number one, remember that. There was a spiritual death, right? Sin came in. And sin created spiritual death in Adam and Eve. And that spiritual death came down to all men. It says here, upon all men, for that all have sinned. It says, verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Hallelujah. It says, not as the offense, so also the free gift. For if through offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Hallelujah. Not as it was by one that sinned, so the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17, for by one man's offense death reigned, and by one much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of words in there, a lot of scriptures in there, and then maybe it sounds a little boggled, but I think when we get to 17 there, we realize it was one man that brought death and spiritual death passed to all men, and it was one man, Jesus Christ, that brought life and brought eternal life into your spirit. He changed you from darkness to light, and you're no longer in death on the inside of you. Your spirit man becomes life. He lights your spirit. In other words, he comes and brings life on the inside of you, and you are free from that sin, and you are now one with him in righteousness. And you get to reign in life in righteousness. That means you're right with God, no longer condemned. You're no longer counted guilty. You are now free. Hallelujah. How many can shout glory? Amen. Woo! That means you are born again. Jesus had said, what did he say in John chapter 3? You must be born again. Hallelujah. And if you've received Jesus, you are born again, and that makes you a candidate for salvation. Oh, my Lord. Woo! I want to dance right now. I can feel it all over me. I get goosebumps. Amen. Because it's good news. It was bad news. Adam brought us into that spiritual death, but Jesus set us free. Glory to God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look there for a minute. Verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 15, 20. Oh, I'm getting excited about baptism. I don't know about you, but see, this is an outward sign of an inward work. Okay? Did you hear that? It is an outward showing of what happened to you on the inside. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to get to it more here. 15:20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. It's saying it again here. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Hallelujah. Woo! There's good news in Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stay in death. Do you? Because if you die without Jesus, that's an eternal death. Eternally dead, separated from God forever. But when you receive Jesus, you received eternal life. And it's not just, it is for right now, but it's also for all eternity. Glory to God. Yeah, we're going to go to heaven, but then also we're going to reign with him. How many know we're not just going to stay in heaven forever? The Bible says heaven is going to come to earth. The new Jerusalem will sit on, you know, it's going to sit on the earth. And we're going to rule and reign with him forever, because there's going to be what? A new heaven and a new earth. Why? This old earth is going to pass away because it was, how many remember, it was cursed. We're still living on a cursed earth, even with all the beauty that we see. That beauty fades, I believe, more and more. And of course, there's getting more and more chaos in the natural realm, and tornadoes and earthquakes and floods and famines and so forth will continue. And the Bible says that the earth itself is groaning for redemption. But what a day that's going to be. Amen. Hallelujah. It's great. We get to go to heaven. But how many know it's great? We're coming back to a new earth and a new heaven and a new earth. Glory to God. Woo! This one's going to pass away. It's not going to be like it's been. It's not going to keep decaying, but it'll be life itself. I believe it's going to be so, I mean, the planet's pretty much alive now, but it's going to really be alive. Glory to God. Whoo, what kind of life will that be? Won't that be awesome? What a wonderful day. But we see here that through Adam, death did reign and sin, but through Jesus, which we call the second Adam or the last Adam, through Jesus, we're made alive. Whew! Glory to God. Now, let's see here where we were looking in John. Let's go back to John 8 for a minute. John chapter 8. And he said, let's just remember what he said here in John 8. They said, verse 33, they answered Jesus. Well, 32, he said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Now, if you remember over in, let's go to Matthew 3 for a minute. No, let's stay here in Matthew 8, John 8, sorry about that. They don't abide, yeah. 34, yeah. And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever commits sins is a servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. Therefore, make you free. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill him because my word hath no place in you. I speak that if I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father, you're doing that which you see with your father, which was the enemy. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You did the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said to him, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came forth from the Father. Neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. For you're of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's telling them, you're of your father, the devil. But I am of my father from above, God. And because I tell you the truth, you're not believing me. And they're saying, I don't believe you. I don't think we have to be baptized. I don't think we have sin in our life. They were saying, I think we're okay. We're of our father, Abraham. What's wrong with you? Who do you think you are, Jesus? He's saying, I am the Son. I've come to bring life. And if you listen to my words, they'll set you free. Now let's go to Matthew 3 for a second. Matthew 3. But I want to look here a little bit further back. And okay, let's just read 1 through 9 here for a minute, I believe. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. He's saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Ooh, he was quite a wild guy. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to the baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God Here it is. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He could if necessary. And then he goes on to say, and now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost with fire. So he's talking about Jesus coming, but he's saying, hey, the axe is already at the root. This system that we are in right now is coming to an end. They're being baptized unto repentance. They need to realize that they're changing. There is a changing. Don't say you're from Abraham. He says, no, no, no. You got to change. And so what would take place a lot of times, and this is, they would know this, okay, because there was a way under the old covenant, if they wanted to come into the spiritual kingdom, they wanted to become a Jew, they had a way for them to do that. There was certain things they had to follow, and one of the things that they did is they baptized them. And what that baptism represented was like, if they're from another nation, they were dying to that nation, and when they're raised, they're living and coming alive into being, coming into the Jewish nation. And so it was an actual thing. They were becoming a Jew, and they were actually baptized. That was part of what they did. And so these people knew that. And John's saying, hey, I'm telling you, there's even stones that God can raise up to praise him if necessary. Okay, verse 9, he said, I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. In other words, Abraham's covenant, you got to remember, Abraham's covenant what? Was to Christ. And he, the Christ, he was the one that had to be received so that they brought into full salvation. So really, if you're the seed of Abraham, that's fine, but you still have to have Jesus. How many know that? You still have to have Christ. And if they don't have Jesus, they do not go to heaven. They are bound. They stay in sin. They are not set free. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:5 for a minute. 1 Peter 2:5. I hope this is all making sense to you. Praise the Lord. We are talking about baptism, but that was one of the things that happened and part of what John was talking about. He said, hey, listen, you know, you need to be baptized. You're going to have to be, you know, you're in sin. You're bound. You're not free. And when John preached, many of them did see it. They began to realize that, and they were baptized unto repentance to the coming Messiah. Hallelujah. But here is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, but you also, now listen to this. He said he could raise up stones as lively stones, right? Are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Okay, you are lively stones built up a spiritual house. Now, house here does not mean building or temple or structure. The house means those members of the same family. Hallelujah. How many can see that? You become lively stones, members of the same family. You become part of what? The family of God. Hallelujah. And John had said, I can raise up these lively stones. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Oh, hallelujah. That can bring forth something. They can offer up spiritual sacrifices to God by Jesus Christ. How many ever have heard of the sacrifice that we give of praise and worship to our Father? Amen. We can give sacrifices and we can worship the Father. Amen. In spirit and in truth. Of course, he said in John 4, Jesus said, he searches such who would worship him in spirit, that new life, that lively stone, that one that can offer spiritual sacrifices of praise and worship to the Father. Lord, I love you. I worship you. We can offer that to him. Hallelujah. And offer up those sacrifices of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look down here. Let's look at verse 9 for a minute. What does it say you are? But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you would show forth what the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Ooh, you've been called out of darkness. We were translated from darkness to light on the inside, see? We became a new person. You were changed. You don't stay the same. You came out of a place of sin and you were set free by Jesus Christ himself. Oh my goodness. And you became a new nation. Glory to God, a different kind of people that didn't exist before. You became a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and you shall show forth the praises of him. Glory to God forever. We've got a new dad. We got a new nation. We got a new family that we've been born into. Do you see that? We were born into a family. We are part of sons and daughters of the living King. Hoo-wee! Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. We saw them, they saw themselves there. Of course, some of those people, they're seeing themselves as sinless. And some of the Jews were never baptized. They didn't get baptized. They're sinners. But they hadn't been baptized, but when they heard John preach, how many know preaching of the gospel can bring conviction? John began to tell them, you need to be baptized. You need to repent and go into this water, symbolizing we're dead to the old Adam and raised to a new life and a new family in Christ. Oh, you were of your family, Adam, but now you're of your family in Jesus. Amen. See, you were bound in sin through Adam, but now in Jesus Christ, we're made free. We got a new family. Hooey! Glory to God. Raised up. We're that chosen generation, the holy people, that lively stone. And we can offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices of worship to the Father in spirit and in truth. Glory to God. See, you've been changed. That's what we're celebrating when we look into baptism. When you're placed under the water, you're saying, I'm letting all the past sin, the past life, all the life that was in Adam dies, and I'm coming into a new life in Jesus Christ when I am raised from the dead. Oh, glory to God. When Jesus was being baptized, he was saying, I am the Messiah. I am the King. I am. Okay? So why was he there? What was he doing? By being baptized, Jesus was also declaring that even though you're of Abraham's seed like I am, and think that you are sinless, hallelujah, I am the Messiah, and I am declaring there's coming a day that even you will have to be baptized and leave your race of being a Jew and come into the race of those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, who have accepted me. I am the Messiah. There's coming a day when you're going to have to realize you're going to have to pass through, and you're going to have to let go of all those past things, and you're going to have to receive Jesus and come into the kingdom as well. Hallelujah. So what is happening? We are enforcing that we died to the race of sin and Adam, okay? The race of Adam, which was sin, and we're raised to the new race of the people of God that are heirs of his promise. the promises of Abraham, but also the promise of Christ. Amen. It demonstrates our death to the race of Adam and our resurrection to the body of Christ. And the only ones capable of worshiping Him in spirit and truth. You realize that? We're the only ones. If you're not born again, you cannot worship Him in spirit and truth. You can worship Him, but there is no spirit. There's no truth to it because you have not been born again. You have not been placed into the family of God. You do not yet belong to Him. And Jesus was baptized saying, come on in. You can come into the family of God. There's a way that's coming. I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what does it do for us? Why should I be baptized? Primarily because you've been what? Born of God. You've been already freed from sin. Jesus said, when the Son sets free, you are now free indeed because you have received Him as your Lord and Savior. You are translated, what, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And you're now alive unto God. You're no longer dead. And it's already happened. It's on the inside of you. But when we're baptized, we decree it, we proclaim it, and we enforce that spiritual truth when we were born again and raised to newness of life. We enforce it in our life. We're saying, this is who I am. I'm letting go of all those old things that I used to be. The bound to sin, I am no longer. Hallelujah. I'm declaring what has taken place in me. And I'm saying, Jesus is my master. Jesus is my Lord. I've truly committed my life unto Him. Hallelujah. And I know we could go to Romans chapter 6, where he said we were buried with Him in baptism unto death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead, we're also raised, what? To that newness of life. Oh, glory to God, folks. There's good news in baptism. There's a gospel that is preached. There's a declaration that you make. And you're saying, hey, I'm going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. He was baptized. He said to be baptized. He said to go forth and do it. And I'm going to let it declare who I am. I'm going to let go of that old thing. And maybe you've already been baptized, but maybe there's something that's been plaguing you. And you said, hey, you know what? I'd like to let go of something else. I'd like to let go of some things in my life, and I want to be baptized again. That's okay. You can do that. Didn't say you can't be baptized more than once. Amen. Because what are we celebrating? We're celebrating the newness of life. That we died with Him. We're resurrected. We're born again. Hallelujah. How many are born again in the house today? Amen. So I want you to think about it. You know, I know John's decided he wants to be baptized. If that's all we have on the 7th of August, that's fine. But I think there's going to be a few more. If you've been sprinkled as a child, or maybe you didn't understand it when you were baptized the last time and you would like to be baptized, you're saying, oh, I understand what happened now. What happened on the inside of me? I received Jesus. My spirit went from death to life. I was just like Jesus was buried in the tomb. I was buried. I'm being put underwater. I'm being buried. I'm being raised to the newness of life. I'm leaving behind all the old man. I'm not hanging on to any of my fleshly man. I'm going to let it be dead. It's behind me. And I'm going to walk new and free with Jesus as my master. Glory to God. Let it be. Let it be. So maybe, you know, just something to think about. You know, it doesn't hurt. So, hallelujah. So anyway, we might have some other people that want to be baptized. You be praying about it. Think about it. Let us know. Call the church. You know, let me know. And or whoever know, you know, Jim or Michelle, and say, hey, this we got another baptism. And we'll rejoice with you. We're going to shout. We're going to praise God. We're going to thank Him. I remember I was watching a baptism on from a friend of mine that I know in Africa. And I mean, they had people coming up out of the water. They're all slain under the Holy Ghost power. I mean, it was awesome. I said, now that was a baptism, brother. He said, yeah, we believe God for it. Yeah. Amen. People are changed. Some were getting delivered to devils and everything. Hallelujah. Amen. So we might have some of that happen. Who knows? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Roba hanjinge laya dingimbre brasolo rebriskama. Seal the things that I've done for you. In baptism, they can be sealed on the inside of you. It can be a symbol and a sign that shows others, you see, that you've been baptized and moved into the new family. Oh, fear not, my children, for I have made it so. I've already made you brand new. Wouldn't you let others know? Oh, decree it, declare it by the things that you see and by this demonstration of baptism. That you've come into me. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just a little exhortation. Now that I didn't plan, so you know. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, we are dismissed.